Good morning.
早安。
There's many people that are off traveling.
我们知道很多人在外出旅游。
I think in the past, the last 2 weeks, we've usually had joint worships and with small groups for each service. I think I know why.
我们通常年末两个星期天，我们都会联合崇拜。那我们看到今天人那么少的话，我们大家都明白为什么要这样做了。
But nonetheless, no matter how many are here, it's great that we can come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
无论我们有多少人，可是我们很高兴能聚在一起，来庆祝主耶稣基督的诞生。
Today we're going to be looking at a passage in Micah, so if you have a Bible, you can turn there. It's a minor prophet, and it's one of the last 12 books of the Old Testament.
我们到今天要看的是《弥迦书》，是小先知十二本小先知书的一本，是在旧约的后边。
Okay, so we're actually the season before Christmas is a season called Advent.
正好在圣诞节之前的一段时间，我们叫降临节。
There's actually a Christian calendar which has been in existence for about 1,500 years.
这是在我们在已经有1,500年的历史了。
And of course, it designates particular holidays that we all know, like Christmas and Easter.
当然，它不像其他我们很熟悉的那些节日，像圣诞节、复活节。
But also in the time that's running up to or preparing for the major holidays, there's also seasons of the church calendar.
就在我们准备这个主要的节日之前呢，在教会的日历上，我们有这样的一个节日——降临节。
And so the 4 weeks that come before Christmas is a season called Advent.
就在圣诞节前的四个礼拜就是开始了我们的降临节。
And the season running before Easter is called Lent, and that's a time of prayer, a 40-day time of prayer and fasting.
那在复活节前四个礼拜呢，我们有一个叫做斋戒节，那是我们要准备用祷告进食来准备。守斋来准备这个耶稣的复活。
And so Advent actually has the meaning. The root is a Latin word, and it means come into.
那降临节在是有一个拉丁文的字源，它的意思是来临的。
And so as we prepare for Christmas, we recognize and remember Jesus is coming into the world as a baby.
我们在这个时候，我们就纪念主耶稣基督降世，以婴孩来降世在这个世界。
And then we also anticipate Christ coming again in power and glory.
同样，我们也这样的一个盼望，主耶稣基督的再来，以荣耀来降临在这个世上。
And so this is the last week of Advent, and then Christmas is on Tuesday.
那今周就是最后一周的降临节，那我们的圣诞节就是这个周二了。
Now, we happen to live in a world that I think many experience difficulties, despair, even hopelessness.
我站在这个世代呢，我知道很多人呢都会经历一些沮丧、困难、或者是绝望的情况。
This is a map of areas in the U.S. that experience high levels of drug addiction.
那这个地图呢，就是美国地图呢，就是表示了这个吸毒的情况。
And so the reddish brown areas are the areas in the country that have the highest levels of drug addiction and illegal drug use.
那你看到地图上最深颜色那个的地方呢，就表示是有很高的吸毒或者是拥有那个非法毒品的地方。
It's actually become such a problem that the mortality rate in the U.S. has actually gone down for the first time since World War I.
Going down?
Yeah, I think it's going down. So people are living less.Living
the mortality,
less
okay.
age.
Okay, 所以说，这个情况严重到一个地步了，就发现美国的死亡年岁每年的减少，就是每年减低，越来越死的人越来越年轻。
So the trend worldwide and in the U.S. is that people, as time goes on, live longer and longer lives, and partly it's because we have treatments for, you know, different diseases, and people learn how to eat better and exercise and the like, so people live longer.
以前呢，这个死亡，这个人们的平均寿岁呢是增加的，因为有医疗和食品营养的进步。可是最近呢，就发现有这样下降的。
And so I think in the U.S. because there's a lot of people, especially kind of in the middle part of the country, because they're experiencing despair and hopelessness.
我们在美国，尤其在中部，那很多人呢都经历到沮丧或者绝望。
They're turning to drugs, which lead to overdoses and reduced health.
那他们就吸毒，那吸毒的会造成他们的健康受影响，甚至会死亡。
Or possibly they begin taking drugs because it's an enjoyable experience, but then the consequence of it then is a further despair and addiction.
他们可能起初吸毒呢是为了享受有娱乐，可是呢这个毒品的影响呢，会最终呢会造成很大的问题。
But it's not only the U.S. that experiences hopelessness. I was reading an article about hopelessness in China, especially among young adults.
不单美国会有这种的情况，我看报纸的话，世界都有这个问题，尤其在中国，讲到那些年轻人。
The article that I read said there's a class of people, especially in Beijing, known as the ant tribe.
我看到一个报道就讲到北京有一群蚁民。
And so this is a hard picture. Well, this picture is of an apartment, and it has lots of bunk beds, so there's probably 8 or 10 people living in an apartment.
看到一个照片是一个房间里面有很多的上下床，当中这个房间就可能住了八九个人。
Other young people and families are living in shipping containers.
有一些人呢，可能会住在那些箱柜里面。
And some others are living actually underground in Beijing, and there's like a series of tunnels where they've built apartments.
甚至有人可能在北京的一些隧道哈，地下地方呢，去盖一些房子在那边住。
And so in interviewing many of these young people, they came to the big city to pursue the Chinese dream.
那有些年轻人呢跑到一些美国中国的大城市，所以追求他们的中国梦。
I guess it's similar to the American dream where you can get a good job and you can then, you know, have a good life.
就好像很多人有一个美国梦，希望有一个好的工作，有好的生活。
But though many of these young people have jobs, nonetheless they're in a state of hopelessness and despair because of their living conditions and their low wages.
这些人呢，他们可能都有工作，可是他们却生活在很压抑或者是绝望的情况，因为他们的工作并不是很好，薪水并不是很高。
And they call it ant tribe because, as you know, ants are like busy workers, and they have to work very hard, and so do these people.
他们为什么叫做蚁族？因为他们就好像蚂蚁一样，非常忙碌的。
And also as a tribe, many of them also, like ants, live underground in this underground community.
就好像蚂蚁一样，整群整群的住在地下，他们很多也是在一种住在不好的环境里面。
For Christians in China, I don't think there's a problem of hopelessness, but I think there's a problem of difficulty and persecution.
在中国的基督徒呢，我相信他们不应该会有在不在绝望当中，可是他们有遇到很多的困难，甚至一些逼害。
The Christian Post and CNN reported earlier in the month that a house church of 100 people was arrested.
在就算美国的 CNN 也曾经最近报道过，在中国的一个教会呢，有超过一百个基督徒被捕的。
Members of the church actually were able to take pictures and video of their arrest and posted it online.
他们被捕的时候呢，甚至这些基督徒能够拍了录像，然后在网上再上传到网上。
And so the word got out worldwide of arrests that are taking place in China.Against Christians.
所以的这个消息呢，就像全世界传开了，就说中国呢现在是逮捕一些基督徒。
And the article I read actually gave an interesting had interesting reporting.
我有一些比较有趣的报道呢。
They said that that the police.Actually, have quotas in terms of number of Christians they'd like to see arrested.
那原来说那些警察呢，他们有一些数字要跟的、配额，就是说他们要 逮捕多少个基督徒，就达到一个配额。
So in America, I'm just warning you that at the end of the month, you're much more likely to get a traffic ticket for speeding.
对，在美国呢，我是先给你一个小警告、在年末的时候呢，你很容易收到这个交通的那个罚单。
Police officers and departments deny this.
虽然呢，那个政府部跟警察呢是否认这个事情。
But I have police who are family members who have verified this with me.
可是呢、Pastor Tom 他有亲戚是做警察的，他就跟他证实了这个事情。
And so, police have to reach a quota.
他们警察呢要达到一个配额。
Maybe they have to do 100 speeding tickets in a month.
他们可能说这个月他们要发100张交通罚单。
And so police, like many of us, procrastinate and they wait until the end.
你知道很多警察像我们一样很拖延做事情，那可能要到月底的时候才去做。
And the last few days, they have to write 50 tickets.
那可能最后那几天呢，他们就要逼着要发出50张罚单。
So we're running to the end of the month, so be very careful.
所以呢，现在快到你月底了，所以你们大家要小心。
But what this article said was that in China, police are getting quotas to arrest members of churches.
那这个来自中国的报道呢，确实说警察呢，他们有配额，说要去逮捕多少个基督徒。
And so these are reports that have been verified that by other brothers from our church that things are getting difficult in China.
那这种事情呢，我们教会有一些基督徒弟兄呢，跟我们证实，在中国的教会呢，现在是遇到很大的困难。
But no matter what our circumstances, whether it's difficulties or trials or despair or hopelessness, we have hope.
无论我们在什么的状况，我们可能是绝望、沮丧、忧愁，可是我们基督徒是有盼望的。
And the passage that we're going to look at today will hopefully give us hope and give hope to the hopeless.
我们今天要看的经文呢，希望给我们带来盼望，给那些没有希望的人带来盼望。
And so the passage is Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and 5a, actually the very beginning.
我们看的是弥迦书的第五章一到五的前半段。
And I'll have Shirley, you can read in Chinese.
我们只是用中文来读，哈。
Together or just me?
We can read together.
我们一起用中文来读吧。你对的，成群的民，那现在你要聚集成队，因为仇敌围攻我们，要用杖击打以色列审判的脸。我耶利恒也发他呀，你在犹大诸神中为小，将来必有一位从你那里而出来，在以色列中为我做掌权的。他的根源从亘古，从胎出就有。耶和华必将以色列人交付敌人，只等那生产的妇人生下子来。那时掌权者治愈的弟兄必归到以色列人那里，他必起来依靠耶和华的大能，并耶和华他神之名的威严，牧养他的羊群。他们要安然居住，因为他日既见尊大，直到地极，这位必作我们的平安。
So the people of God found themselves in a difficult situation.
这是看到神的子民呢，在一个很困难的情况。
Now Micah was the prophet who wrote this prophecy.
那弥迦是写这本书的作者。
And he lived in the 8th century, 7th and 8th century BC.
他是在公元前六七百年前呢，还做先知的。
And prophesied from 737 to 696.
他是从公元前696到公元前737到696来做先知说预言。
And he was actually the first prophet of God who prophesied against Jerusalem.
他可能是第一位神用到的先知呢，是为做那个对那个犹太耶路撒冷做预言的。
And the reason was that those from Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside were engaging in idolatry.
他是预言到耶路撒冷会受到毁坏，因为当中的人民呢，还是拜偶像。
They had forsaken the true God and began to worship the gods of other cultures.
他们放弃了真神，而去敬拜在当地的那些偶像。
And they also, there was also a lot of corruption going on, and a lot of the poor were being taken advantage of which Micah prophesied against.
那米尼加也是对社会的一些不公义的情况，像贪污啊，虽然欺压穷人呢，也做出警告。
Now, to be a prophet and to prophesy against your own country was not an easy thing.
作为一个先知，而且要对自己的国家发出警告的预言呢，并不是一个容易的事情。
Because people don't want to hear that their city is going to be taken over by foreign enemies and armies.
因为人民是不喜欢听到自己的国家是被外来的权力来称赞、来掳去的。
And plus the Israelites acknowledged and felt that they were the people of God.
那些而且以色列人觉得他们是属神的子民。
And so how could God's people be given over and taken over by a foreign power?
那神的子民怎么会交在外族人的手里呢？
And there was also many prophets that would have disagreed with him, giving false prophecy, saying, "No, everything's okay. God will protect you. You're His chosen people."
那其他的有一些其他的先知却发出假预言，就说不用担心，神会照顾他的子民的。
And so, for prophets like Micah, it was a very difficult circumstance.
所以对尼加来讲，当时是非常的困难。
And then his prophecy.Part of his prophecy from this passage in Micah came true when indeed Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity in 587 BC.
那尼加的预言呢部分呢是成就了，就是在公元前587年呢，犹大及南国是被巴比伦的称赞，是被人民被掳去。
And the leader of Babylon at the time was King Nebuchadnezzar.
当时巴比伦的首领是尼布甲尼撒。
Many years earlier, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria.
很多年前呢，北国呢已经被亚述打败了。
And then Babylon took over Assyria.
那巴比伦呢打败了亚述。
And then began to expand their influence and began to conquer many other nations, including Israel and then now Judah.
然后他就扩展他的版图的，打了很多国家，包括了这个犹大。
And so the people found themselves in a very difficult situation as Babylon had approached and now had encircled their city.
所以当时呢，巴比伦呢，就是在这个耶路撒冷这个很困难的情况，因为巴比伦围攻这个城。
And Babylon, like many countries and armies at the time, used a technique called siege warfare.
当时巴比伦呢，就像其当时的国家一样，就用很多围攻的方法来作战。
And so most cities, like Jerusalem, had walls around them.
所以很多的城市呢，当时的城市就有围墙，把城围起来。
And the invading army would come, and they would encircle the city, and they would basically wait.
那其他军队来到呢，就会把这个城呢包围起来，在那边等。
Because at some point people would either grow hungry.
因为到一个点呢，人始终会饿了，断了粮食。
In the case of Jerusalem, they probably wouldn't have gone thirsty because they had underground water source.
那对耶路撒冷来讲呢，可能人不会缺水，因为他们有很好的地下水供应。
But over time, when you live in a city and there's no food sources coming in from the countryside, eventually, you will starve to death.
那有，但是对一个城来讲，要是它没有外地，外面的一些粮食的供应，那早晚它会断粮，就会有饥荒。
And so, in such a circumstance, the people that were in the city under siege had three possibilities.
那在这种情况，被围攻的城呢，通常有三种的情形会出现。
Either they could surrender immediately and relieve their situation, but probably be taken into slavery.
他们呢，就开始就投降，可投降的结果可能会被俘虏做奴隶。
Or they could wait, and that would mean eventually starvation and eventually the foreign army breaching the walls and taking over the city.
那或者呢，他们就在那边等，等的结果可能他们会缺粮啊，会啊会有饥荒，甚至呢那个外族呢可能就攻进来来取城。
Which would mean certain enslavement, but also the likelihood of death.
所以他们也会成为奴隶，甚至会死亡。
Or they could trust God.
或者他们可以信靠主。
And of course, we think that while trusting God.Should be the way to go.
那我们当然是觉得说，信靠神是应该要做的方法。
However, God had already promised that because of their disobedience, He would give them into the hands of their enemies.
可是神却这样说过，他说，因为你们不顺服我，所以呢，这个他你们就会把神会把他们交给外族人。
And in this prophecy, it says the Israel's ruler will be.They will strike Israel's ruler.
在这个预言呢，就会说他会击打以色列的首领。
And in fact, the king of Israel was taken into captivity.
所以事实上呢，这个以色列的这个领袖们呢，是会被掳了。
Nebuchadnezzar killed all of his sons.
那尼布甲尼杀了王的所有的儿子。
And then he put his eyes out.
然后把他的眼睛挖出来。
And he threw him in prison.
要把他丢在监牢里。
And within 2 years, the king was dead.
那两年之内，这个王就死了。
The people were in captivity.
那人民就被掳了。
And they were in a desperate situation of hopelessness.
所以他们就在一种绝望的状态中。
Well, the good news for us is that we don't have it that bad.
我们对我们的好消息说，我们不会发生这样的事情。
But nonetheless, we all experience suffering, to some degree or another.
可是我们无论怎样都会在生命中经历不多不少的困难。
And when people go through trials or suffering or pain, they often ask, well, why does God allow suffering?
当人经历这些受苦或者是困难的时候，他们可能会问神，为什么你让这些事情发生在我身上？
And I think books have been written on this subject.
我们有很多书都在写这个题目。
But I'm going to give several reasons.
那我现在跟大家讲一讲几个原因。
The first being the fall.
首先就是人的堕落。
And when I refer to the fall, I mean when Adam and Eve, our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed and took of an apple that, or of a fruit that they should not have taken.
那我说的人的堕落就是讲到始祖亚当夏娃他们不顺服神，所以他们吃了
And in doing so, there is now a break with humanity.
A break or a
breach with humanity.
哦，所以这样就造成神跟人之间有一个隔阂。
And so there was many consequences to their disobedience and our continued disobedience.
我们这样就造成很多的不顺服的后果。我们今天还继续这样的后果。
They experience now a sin in their lives.
所以他们经历了生命中有犯罪。
They were removed from the garden.
所以他们被赶出伊甸园。
They would experience death.
他们也经历了死亡。
The land now would no longer just yield crops except for much effort and the sweat of their brow.
所以他们流泪汗流满面的去劳苦工作，要不然地是不会长出。
And the earth was no longer a lush garden, but now it was one that would have that could experience various natural disasters.
那土地也不再像以前那么丰盛，可能会在当上面会经历很多自然的灾害。
And so whenever there's some natural disaster or hurricane or a tsunami like the one that hit Indonesia these past several days, these are all a direct result of the fall.
所以我们看到我们可能有台风，也可能像海啸，像最近在印尼发生了海啸，这些都是人犯罪的结果。
And the fact that we experience illness and death is a result of the fall.
就算人有生病死亡，都是因为人犯罪的结果。
God also allows suffering because of the consequences of sin and disobedience.
那神呢，就是允许有这个受苦，原因就是因为我们的罪或者不顺服的一些后果。
In this case, I don't think it's necessarily God giving a direct judgment on someone.
在这种情况呢，我并不是说主，神是主动的，是来审判，某一个人的错。
But rather, when one sins, there's consequences, and God allows the consequences to happen.
只是有人犯罪的话，罪一定有它的后果，神就允许这些后果，发生在人的身上。
And so if someone's a thief and they get caught stealing,
要是一个做贼的被抓，他偷东西被抓了，
God doesn't necessarily have to judge them in any special way.
神不需要是特别去审判他。
Because now they're going to have to face the courts and they're most likely going to have to go to jail and pay some kind of restitution.
因为他们一定会被控告，甚至会被判坐牢。
And I think you can think about that in any number of different sins that occur, that there's consequences of those sinful actions.
那你们可能，我们也可能会想到不少的情况，就是因为罪引起了一些不好的结果。
God also sometimes does intervene directly.
有时候神也会直接的介入。
And he may bring specific judgment on a person or maybe a nation.
或者他会对人或者对一个国家做出直接的审判。
And we know for certain from scriptures that God did judge nations.
那我们在我们的圣经里面看到神是审判很多国万国的。
We no longer have a Babylon because ultimately God judged that nation as well.
现在我们没有巴比伦这个国家了，因为神已经审判他，让他灭亡了。
But I think God also sometimes intervenes in our lives for our good.
可是我也相信神有时候会介入我们的生命，让我们呢还有改进的。
And God allows us to experience difficulties and trials that we may draw closer to Him.
神允许有苦难在我们的生命中，让我们更亲近他。
And finally, God allows suffering, and sometimes that suffering is in the form of persecution.
有时候神是允许这些苦难，就像有一些逼迫。
Our Lord Jesus was persecuted and ultimately died, was executed for his crime of blasphemy.
那主耶稣基督就在世上被控告以叛国的罪，来一个羞辱神的罪，被判死刑。
Historians believe that 11 of the 12 apostles ultimately died a martyr's death.
那他圣经也记载，他十一个门徒呢，也是因为为主的缘故而殉道。
And in places throughout the world, because you're a Christian, you may face persecution, being imprisoned, or even death.
那在世界各地，我们也常听到基督徒因着信仰。会被抓住坐牢，甚至会被判死。
And in 1 Peter 4:12, we read this teaching from the Apostle Peter.
那彼得前书第四章十二节有讲到，彼得有这样说。
Who writes, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you."
他说，亲爱的弟兄啊，有火焰的试炼临到你们，不要以为奇怪。
And I think Peter's saying here.As people, you are going to experience trials.
那彼得这里就告诉我们说啊，我们做基督徒的，你会期待着一定有这个逼迫来到。
Don't be surprised at it.
你不要觉得惊奇。
And in fact, if you're living as a disciple of Jesus, especially in the time of Peter, the likelihood was that.You would experience some kind of persecution or difficulty for your faith.
就是在彼得那个时代，作为基督徒呢，你一定会会有一些困难跟逼害等着你。
We also see the hope of a savior.
可是我们同时在这段经文，我们也看到有一个救世主的盼望。
So the people were undergoing this very the God's people were undergoing this very difficult time.
那在这种情况呢，神的子民呢，在经历一些很困难的事。
But in spite of the extreme circumstances that they experienced, nonetheless, the prophet sharing God's words gave a message of hope.
所以说他们在那么困难的时候，那先知却给他们一个盼望的信息。
And so we see, beginning in verse 2, that Micah prophesied that that the Messiah, the Savior, would come out of Bethlehem.
那在第二节我们看到说，这位救世主是从在伯利恒而出。
And that out of the clans of Judah, one would come for me, one who would be a ruler over Israel.
他说讲到在这个犹大这个族里面，会有一个在以色列中为神做掌权的。
And so this was 700, about 700 years before the birth of Christ, and we have Micah already prophesying that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem.
这就是在主耶稣诞生700多年前，弥迦已经这样预言主的诞生。
And he would be born through a woman who would be in labor and bear a son.
他是通过一个妇人啊来生产下来的。
But this Messiah isn't one who was just born then. The Messiah was actually one whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
这个弥赛亚并不是当时才出生，而是他的根源是在亘古。
And of course we know that because Jesus is God.
我们因为为什么知道？因为主耶稣基督就是神。
He was with God and he was God from the beginning.
他就是与神同在。
It was Jesus who created the world.
他与神同在，他初就跟神同在，世界也是借着他造的。
But it would be Jesus who would be born of a woman in Bethlehem to fulfill Scripture and God's plan.
所以这是可是耶稣基督却是通过一个妇人啊生产出来，生产在啊诞生在伯利恒。
And what's interesting is that there were the wise men.
很有趣的话呢，就是有三位博士。
If you ever see, I don't think we have it. There's you know what a nativity scene is?
你们有看过一些耶稣出生的一些画吗？
It's where there's little like statues of Jesus and the baby Jesus and the parents and the wise men, and usually people put this in front of their tree.
那就是有些人呢，就一些耶稣啊啊，他的父母啊，有些博士的一些像放在圣诞树前。
So the wise men actually weren't part of the birth story.
其实呢，这几个博士并不在耶稣出生的时候出现。
They came about 2 years later.
他大概是两年，耶稣生，出生两年之后来的。
And we talk about 3 wise men, but we have no idea how many there really were.
所以我们常常说三东方三博士，可是我们基本上不知道有几位。
And so they arrived in Israel, and they are now following a star and looking for a savior.
他们跟着一个星。来从东方来到啊，去寻找耶稣。
And so they approach King Herod, who was the ruler of the region at the time.
他们就去问希律，他是当时那个地方的王。
And they had this request given by the apostle, written down by the apostle Matthew, which says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'"
这是在马太哈他福音里面记载说，当希律王的时候，耶稣就生在犹太的伯利恒。有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷，说：“那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的星，特来拜他。”
And so it's actually kind of interesting because this is now the second aspect of the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy.
那这有蛮有趣的，因为这就是。弥迦这一段预言里面第二个成就的。
The first aspect was the fall of Jerusalem when the Babylonians took them captive.
预言首先呢是实现在耶路撒冷被巴比伦哈攻打。
And now the second prophecy was that a savior, a Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem.
那第二个成就的就是这个弥赛亚会在伯利恒出生。
And when the wise men came to Herod, it said that he was dismayed.
那当那个几个博士来见这个希律王的时候呢，他很惊奇。
And he gathered his the wise men. He gathered scribes and religious rulers and teachers of the law.
那他呢就召集了当时的律法师哈，还有一些。智慧的人来，还有一些祭司来到。
to see if they could tell the wise men where the Messiah would be born.
要就问他们知不知道这个弥赛亚，圣经有没有说在哪里出生？
And what they did was they pointed to this passage in Micah and said, well, the prophet said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem.
然后他们就拿着弥迦书来说，圣经有预言，救世主弥赛亚会诞生在伯利恒。
And so we see from the testimony of Matthew that indeed this scripture was fulfilled in Jesus.
那我们要看马太福音的话，我们就发现在马太福音呢，就是应验了这个预言，耶稣是生在伯利恒。
And Matthew used this as an apologetic or as a way of helping to convince people that indeed Jesus is the Savior whom he says he is.
那所以马太就用这段经文来证实耶稣基督就是救世主。
And what is Jesus's posture or attitude towards those who are experiencing difficulties, harassment, and hopelessness?
那这样对那些在困难当中、绝望当中的人有什么帮助呢？
Well, Matthew later in his writing penned this verse from Matthew 11, and it's the words of Jesus who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
马太福音的十一章二十八到三十节有这样提到，说凡劳苦担重担的人可以到我这里来，我就使你们得安息。我心里柔和谦卑，你们当负我的轭，学我的样式，这样你们心里就必得享平安息。因为我的轭是容易的，我的担子是轻省的。
And Jesus is saying that and recognizing that people have heavy burdens.
那耶稣是知道我们人会有很多重担。
And he refers to a yoke, which was the wooden structure that was put on oxen in order that they might that they may work in the fields.
那他提到的这个轭就是放在牛的身上，让他们可以在田里爬松泥土。
And Jesus is saying, you have heavy burdens in your life, but rather take my yoke, exchange your yoke for my yoke, for my way is for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
所以耶稣就说到那些劳苦担重担的人呢，要放下自己的重担，背起耶稣的重担，因为耶稣的轭是容易的，耶稣的担子是轻省的。
And so it doesn't necessarily mean that all of our problems are going to go away, but that Jesus can help relieve some of the burden when we come to him.
并不是说你所有的问题全部都不见了，而是说耶稣会减轻你的重担。
And maybe he can give us peace and assurance and hope throughout whatever we're going through.
所以在你经历的困难当中，他会给你有平安，给你有安息，也给你有盼望。
I read the story about a parent
我看到一个故事啊，有讲到一些父母呢
who had a young child who was seeking to lift weights.
那他有小孩呢，他想去举重。
And much like the youngster in this picture, it looks like he's a little too small for the weight.
那就好像这个相片里面的这个小孩，他其实真的举不起来。
And the mom said that her son was very determined to try to lift this weight.
那这个妈妈就写说啊，这个他的儿子实在很想要把这个杠举起来。
And no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't even get it to raise even off the ground.
无论他怎么样尝试，他连举起来一点点都不行。
And so she said, then she came over and went behind her son, and then together they then lifted the weights together.
那他跟妈妈呢就走到儿子的后面，他们一起就把这个举起来。
And the son was very happy because now they had accomplished this great feat of lifting weights.
然后这个小孩就很开心，因为他们一起呢能够把这个举重举起来。
And the lesson I think is that sometimes we have burdens that are too much for us to bear. We just can't lift our way out of the burden.
我们学到的功课就是说，有时候我们那些重担重的，我们真的一个人扛不起来。
But God, like a parent, can easily lift these type of weights.
那神就好像那个妈妈一样，她非常容易的就可以把这个东西举起来。
And so our calling is to draw near to Christ.
所以我就呼吁大家呢，要亲近耶稣。
And to seek His help in the situations in our life.
所以这就是在我们困难当中寻求他的帮助。
And to seek Him in prayer, giving Him all of our burdens, cares, and concerns.
所以也在我们的把我们的这些重担忧虑就交托给他。
And this way we can seek some relief from our burdens.
所以这样就会减轻我们的重担。
Finally, this passage refers to our future hope.
最后这段经文呢是提到我们将来的盼望。
Yes, we all go through difficult times.
我们都会经过一些的困难。
And we have our Savior Jesus, whom we can draw near to and pray to and rely on.
我们也有我们的救主耶稣基督，我们可以向他祷告，也可以依靠他。
But we also have a future hope in Jesus, knowing that He will come again.
我们也知道我们将来有这样的一个盼望，就是主耶稣基督会再来。
And it says in beginning in verse 4 that He will shepherd His flock in the strength of the Lord.
他们在第四节里面有讲说，他依靠耶和华的大能来牧养他的羊群。
And of course, that can refer to God shepherding His people, those disciples of His.
他有提到就是像主耶稣他是牧养他的门徒。
But I think it actually has a broader meaning, which refers to the future.
其实呢，有更大的一层意思，就是指到将来。
Because it says that when He comes, He will enable the people to live securely.
因为他再来的时候呢，他的子民会生活的非常的安全。
That His greatness will reach the ends of the earth.
然后他的大能会直到地极。
And that He will be our peace.
然后他会成为我们的平安。
And so this refers to Jesus when He comes again in power and glory.
这个直到主耶稣基督再来的时候是有荣耀有权柄的。
To live and to reign on the earth.
他在这世上作王。
And it's called the millennial kingdom because He will reign for 1,000 years.
还有讲到就是所谓的千禧年国度，就是他会在地作王，掌权一千年。
He will defeat His enemies.
他会打败他的所有仇敌。
And He will allow humanity to live in peace.
他让人们都能够平安中过日。
And so theologians call this our blessed hope.
所以很多神学家就说这是我们蒙福的盼望。
And this is especially a hope that early disciples took comfort in.
这个盼望就是早期教会的信徒们所依靠的。
The book of Revelation is not an easy book to understand.
那启示录这本书呢，并不是很容易明白。
There's a lot of prophecies, there's a lot of imagery.
在里面有很多的预言，有很多的象征。
It reads almost like science fiction.
读起来呢，好像在看科幻小说一样。
But it was a type of literature at the time that was designed to give people hope.
可是这样的一个文学题材是在当时对当事人来讲是给他们带来盼望。
There were trials, there were battles, but ultimately there would be a victor.
因为当时有很多的试炼，有很多的战争，可是最终我的基督徒都会得胜。
And my New Testament my New Testament professor in seminary, I think summarized the main meaning of or main theme of Revelation.
那他在Pastor Tom 在神学院的新约的老师讲这本书的时候呢，他把启示录做了这样的一个简短的总结。
And he said the theme of Revelation is that in the end we win.
启示录的主题就是一句，最终我们必得胜。
And when it refers to we, it's actually in the end Christ will win.
我们在读的时候呢，我发现里面讲到耶稣基督是必得胜最后。
And we as His followers will share in that victory.
我们是他的跟随者，我们也跟他分享这样的一个胜利。
And the reason why the early believers took such comfort in these words was because of the difficulties that they faced.
当时的早期教会的信徒为什么在 这卷书带给他们那么大的安慰？因为他们在百般的试炼的当中。
On the one hand, you had Jewish, the Jewish community and Jewish leadership that continued to bring persecution and tried to arrest Christians.
在当时呢，有不少的犹太教徒啊，或者是他们会对信徒造成很多的迫害。
But their even greater threat was from the Roman Empire.
最大的困难呢，却是来自那个罗马的政府。
Who was particularly threatened over this at the time small movement?
尤其呢，当时呢发生一些政治运动的时候。
Because early disciples refused to acknowledge Caesar as Lord.
因为当时的信徒呢，不承认凯撒是主。
But rather acknowledge Jesus as Lord.
他们是以基督耶稣为主。
And they were supposed to bring offerings or sign documents saying that Caesar was Lord, but Christians at the time refused to do that.
当时呢，所有的人都要签文件说要承认凯撒是主，可是很多基督徒呢却不愿意签。
And it brought about much persecution.
就带来很多的迫害。
Driving many of the believers into hiding,
就逼了很多基督徒都要躲起来
and the less fortunate to imprisonment or even death.
很多甚至会被抓起来，甚至判死。
But in the midst of this, the Apostle John received this revelation from God.
在这样困难的当中呢，使徒约翰却从神来到，收到这样的一个异象。
That in the end we win.
就是最终我们必得胜。
Christ will be victorious.
耶稣必得胜。
He will live and rule and reign.
他会活着来掌权。
And he will be our peace.
他成为我们的平安。
And this really helped the believers endure the most difficult of trials.
所以这样的一个信息帮助了当时的基督徒度过困难的时候。
And hopefully it can be a source of encouragement and hope to us as well, whatever we're going through.
所以不论我们今天经过什么，希望这段的经文也给我们带来安慰跟盼望。
So what are some lessons we can learn as disciples of Jesus?
那我们作为耶稣基督的门徒，我们学到什么功课呢？今天？
Well, first, I think that we can be comforted by the truth of God's word.
这是神的话语的真理，能够安慰我们。
Here we have a prophecy from Micah from the 8th century BC.
我们这里有记载在公元八年前的公元前八世纪的一些预言。
Of which the first two parts of the prophecy have been fulfilled.
那前两部分的预言已经实现了。
Jerusalem was conquered.
但是耶路撒冷被毁了。
Jesus was born.
那耶稣基督诞生了。
And we anticipate that Jesus will come again.
那我们现在就是期盼耶稣基督的再来。
And we also have the testimony of God's servant Matthew, who witnessed Jesus and followed him personally.
那我们也今天也提到耶稣基督的门徒马太，他亲眼见到耶稣，也跟随了他。
And ultimately gave his life in order to follow Jesus and to accomplish God's will in his life.
那为了实现神在他身上的旨意，他不但跟随耶稣，甚至为耶稣为道顺命顺道。
I think this passage also encourages us to draw close to Jesus in prayer.
那另外我们学到的是，我们要更亲近耶稣，以祷告来亲近耶稣。
Jesus is our Savior.
耶稣是我们的救主。
He is our Lord,
他是我们的主。
And he has a desire that we come before him to lay all of our burdens and our cares and our yoke upon him.
他有这样的一个盼望，是我们有重担、有劳苦、有恶都放在他的跟前。
And though our problems might not all be solved,
就算我们的所有问题不能全部被解决，
we can be assured of his presence and his peace and his help in our lives.
可是我们却肯定他与我们的同在，给我们的帮助跟安慰。
And lastly, we should anticipate his coming again.
那最后我们真的是要期盼他的再来。
Truly, in the end, we win because of what Christ has done.
因为最终我们必得胜，就是因着耶稣基督所成就的。
And in this time of the Christmas season, this is a time of expectancy as we wait for Christ to come to rule and reign on this earth and in us.
所以在这个圣诞的正在圣诞的季节，其实我们就有一个盼望，耶稣会再来再掌权。
And I want to conclude with this encouragement from the Apostle Paul as he wrote the Romans.
那我们在这里呢，就以保罗的的书信的来鼓励大家。
Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope.
就是罗马书五章三到四节所说，不但如此，就在患难中也是欢欢喜喜的，因为知道患难生忍耐，忍耐生老练，老练生盼望。
And so this is interesting because in the midst of our sufferings, we're called to rejoice.
这是很奇怪的，因为在苦难当中，我们被劝告说要喜乐。
Because as we put our hope and trust in the Lord, He is using such sufferings and trials to work in our lives.
因为主耶稣基督是通过这些的苦难试炼，要我们能够在生命中经历它。
To produce endurance in our lives.
所以在我们的生命中能够生忍耐。
To help us grow in character to be more like Christ in our life.
让我们忍耐生老练，越来越像基督。
But what's interesting is that we have hope from Jesus and from the Word and from the Prophet.
这里有讲到我们有这样的盼望，从先知来，从圣经来，从耶稣来。
But here Paul is saying, even when we experience difficulties, these difficulties even produce more hope.
保罗这边有讲到说，我们虽然我们有很多困难，可是这困难当中也是给我们带来盼望。
And so we have hope in Jesus and we draw close to Him, but as we're experiencing the trial, those trials can actually be a sense of hope and encouragement to us as we walk with God.
神的话语给我们安慰，所以我们用祷告也接近神。可是有些时候患难也让我们更接近他，在患难当中，我们会产生了盼望。
And so during this Christmas season, the encouragement that we have from God's word is to have hope.
所以在这个圣诞的季节，我们从神话语给大家的鼓励就是盼望。
Hope in our Savior who wishes that we draw closer to Him.
这是盼望，就是来自我们的主，他希望我们更亲近他。
And who will one day come again.
他是有一天会再来。
Let's pray.
我们一起来祷告。
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the testimony of your prophet Micah.
我们天上亲爱的天父，谢谢你的先知弥迦的见证。
And from the encouragement of your servant Matthew.
还有从马太来的鼓励。
Who testified as to the hope that we can have because of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
他们一起的见证，我们的盼望是来自主耶稣基督。
As your followers were not exempt from difficulties and trials.
我们是你的跟随者，我们并不能脱离有试炼困难。
But we thank you that you give us the strength to endure.
可是我们谢谢你给我们有力量去忍受。
And that endurance produces in us character.
因为忍耐会生老练。
Which then produces in us even more hope.
老练去给我们更多的盼望
A hope that we can share with the world
让我们这样的一个盼望可以跟世界来分享
Who is in desperate need of hope and a savior
因为这个世界其实需要极其需要救主来的盼望
In Christ's name I pray
从耶稣的名祷告
Amen
Amen